Well, thank you.
The topic of my presentation is best first search for compressed sensing signal recovery, and I will introduce the A-star orthogonal magic pursuit algorithm in this presentation. Well, to give an overview of the presentation, I will just shortly start with compressed sensing problem, or the reconstruction problem and matching pursuits, then try to give the motivation for incorporating a multi-path search into the problem. Then I will introduce the A-star OMP algorithm and demonstrate its reconstruction performance on 1 and 2D reconstruction problems. Then I will conclude the presentation with a short summary. Well, we have already seen a number of good presentations about the compressed sensing problem, reconstruction problem. Principally, we are interested in recovering a K-sparse signal X from a reduced set of measurements. Say the signal has length M, and we take only M measurements from that, where M is less than N, and we would like to reconstruct this K-sparse vector X of length N. So the well-known L0 reconstruction can be written as here. We are interested in the minimum L0 norm X that satisfies the observation. Obviously, this is directly interactable, so a number of reconstruction approaches has appeared in literature. Well, we can categorize them into, far many categories than I listed here. But in this presentation, we will mostly be interested in the greedy pursuits. And in this next slide, I would like to talk about a subfamily of them, the matching pursuits. These are iterative algorithms that try to either build up the solution from an initial zero solution like the matching pursuit, an orthogonal matching pursuit, or they refine a sparse solution, as in the case for subspace pursuit or compressive sampling matching pursuit. For our purposes, the orthogonal matching pursuit is the most important one, as the algorithm is based on that. So how does it work? It identifies one non-zero coefficient of X for each iteration. It selects this non-zero coefficient as the dictionary item that has maximum inner product with the actual residue, and then we compute an orthogonal projection of the residue over the subspace spanned by the set of selected atoms, so that the residue after the projection is orthogonal to the subspace spanned by this set. Well, this is obviously a single path strategy, so it selects one vector after the others, or one non-zero coefficient after the other, and in this work, we would like to propose a multipath strategy that instead search the solution among a number of candidates, as you can see here. So we try to find the solution by a search among a number of dynamically evolving candidates, and provided an appropriate path selection algorithm to find the best path or the most promising path among them, we can follow the most promising path among these and extend that and finally reach the solution. So in order to solve this multipath problem, I will introduce the A-star orthogonal matching pursuit, or its short A-star OMP algorithm, that combines the A-star search with the orthogonal matching pursuit. So first, let's have a look at how we can represent this compressed sensing problem, this L0 minimization problem, with a search tree. Well, this is trivial, but I want to give it for the sake of completeness. The nodes here represent the dictionary elements. As you can see, some dictionary elements can appear on different paths multi times in the tree, obviously. And each path then is a candidate solution. Here, for example, we see a path of length 4. As you can see, it is a superscript. And a superscript is the number of the paths. So this is the third path of the length 4, and it's a candidate solution. Each path is assigned a residue, and we compute a cost also based on this residue. I will come to this point in the next slides. So our aim is to build up and dynamically evaluate the search tree iteratively via A-star search, and at each iteration we will first choose the best path among these and then expand this path. So we might have an overview of the algorithm now here. We first initialize the search tree to I nodes. Your I is set to 1, so we have only one initial path in the tree. When we select the best path, here it's trivial, obviously, this one single path, then we start the iterations by expanding this path by its B children, so this the number of extensions is here restricted to B, we update the residues and cost of the paths for each new path inserted to the tree, and then we once again select the best path among now these two paths. So this turns out to be 2. It's expanded once again in the next iteration. Then once again, the best path is selected until the convergence here. And the convergence criterion is that we stop when the best path has the desired length, so k. So here, for example, we stop when k is 4. We stop when this path is selected as the best path at any point. So in order to understand this better, I would like to define three important stages of the algorithm. First is trivial. It's the initialization stage. We choose, in this state, I nodes, as I already said, that has maximum inner product to Y. So this is the most trivial step. Then we have got the selection of the best path problem. And here, there is a problem of comparing paths with different lengths. And the third problem is how we expand this path. Or in other words, how we avoid too many paths in the tree so that the search is tractable. As for the best path selection, we have got the so-called auxiliary function of A star search. Here you can see in this sketch, this function. Here I have got a path of length 4, and I would like to compare this to the second path of length 2. So I have to compensate for this non-existent two nodes here in order to have two comparable costs. And I introduce this auxiliary function to compensate, or A star, let's say, introduces this auxiliary function to compensate for this non-existent nodes here. So this auxiliary function should reflect on how much the residue would fall or would decrease if the path were complete or of length 4. And we need now to define cost models. It's not easy to find cost models always that exactly hold, but we will define some models in the next slide that generally and loosely hold. So as for the cost models, I would like to introduce three schemas. The first one is an additive schema. Here I've got a path of length 2 and the corresponding residue. And I assume if I add a new node here, this new node would reduce the residue by a constant amount proportional to the alternorm of the observation. So we can also see the general formula here for a path of length L. As for a second example or schema, I once again have the same path here. And I assume addition of a new node or vector to the representation now reduces the residue by amount that is proportional to the difference of the alternorms of the residues in the last two nodes. So here R1 minus R2 alternorm of R1 minus alternorm of R2. And we can also write this generally as you see for any path of length L. And finally, there is another cost model called the multiplicative one. Here we assume that addition of a new node reduces the residue by a constant ratio alpha. This alpha is obviously selected less than 1, so the residue falls. And this can be also generally written as this formula here. So after we apply these cost models, we can select the best path that has the minimum cost. And now we've got the problem of expanding it. Well, A star in its original form expands all the children of the selected branch, but this would in the tree will result in too many paths, always. That's n to the power k. It would be then intractable. So we have to apply some pruning. The first pruning mechanism is the sort of extensions per path pruning. We prune the children of the tree so that only the best B children remain in the tree, or we only add the best B children to the tree selected with respect to their inner products to the residue of the node. A second pruning is the stack size pruning. This limits the number of paths in the tree to p, and we prune the tree if the number of paths exists to p and remove the paths that have maximum costs. And third, we have to take care of equivalent paths. As I've already said, permutations of nodes within a path exist, or permutation of nodes in a tree exists, and we can say that permutation of nodes within a path are equivalent. An example is here. We've got path 1 and path 2, even with different lengths, and as you see, the first three nodes in path 1 and path 2 share the same set. So, by the orthogonal projection property, I know that the residue here at this node will exactly be equal to the residue here at this node, so I'm sure that the path 2 will select denote 5 when it's expanded, and these two will be exactly the same. So I can say that PET1 and PET2 are equivalents. While here, for the case for PET3 is different. It has 5 here in the middle. That's not in the first 3 nodes of PET1. So this changes everything, and the PET1 and PET3 are not equivalent, as the residues here and here will not be the same anymore. So we can now illustrate this single iteration of A star OMP with one initial node, four paths allowed in the tree, and number of extensions restricted to 3. So we've got the initial path and the best initial tree, and the best path is selected as a path 4 with minimum cost, and the best extensions turn out to be nodes 2, 8, and 9 with respect to the inner products, to the residue of the path. So we first add the node 2 to path 4. This doesn't change the number of paths in the tree, so we are fine. And then we have to add the node 8. This results in a new path. So we have now 5 paths in the tree, and the worst one now has to be removed. And last, we have to consider node 9. Here we see that if we add node 9, we will have a new path that has a cost higher than all the paths in the tree. So as we have already 4 paths, we ignore this path. So this is for one single iteration of the algorithm. So now I would like to give you the performance of the algorithm in a 1D scenario. We've got a reconstruction of 1D signals from 100 random Gaussian observations. The signals have length 256. We are dispersed to varies between 10 and 50. Okay, and the non-zero coefficients here are drawn from the standard normal distribution. Here the red curve shows us the performance of A star OMP with a multiplicative cost function. And as we see from the normalized mean squared error, that's lower than all the other candidates, which are namely subspace pursuit, basis pursuit, and orthogonal matching pursuit. And the same is also true for exact reconstruction rates here. So the algorithm is also above the others. A second case here is very similar to the first one, except the point that the non-zero coefficients were drawn this time from the uniform distribution between minus 1 and 1. And here I've got the three cost models for the A star OMP, adaptive, additive, and multiplicative cost models. And we see that in terms of normalized mean squared error, this still outperforms the algorithm until, well, somewhere where the error is already quite high. And as for the reconstruction rates, the similar also holds, except for the additive OMP, whose reconstruction rates falls down. So we can here conclude that the adaptive and multiplicative strategies are far more better for our purposes than the adaptive one, than the additive one. Sorry. So finally, we have got some reconstruction of image problem. We have here block processed the images in 8x8 blocks, and each block was pre-processed to before the measurements to be 14 sparse, and we took 32 Gaussian observations from each block. So these are well-known images, and we see that the multiplicative A-star OMP here results in better peak SNR ratios than all the other algorithms, and even increasing the number of extended branches per iteration increases the performance of the algorithm. So here we can see two images. This is the basis pursuit reconstruction of Lena, and this is the A-star OMP reconstruction. I hope the differences are visible, for example, here on the boundary regions, or here in the detailed hair regions or the hatch region. But I feel this will be more visible now. Here is the basis pursuit reconstruction and the target image and the A-star OMP reconstruction. Clearly, along the boundaries, A-star OMP is much closer to the target image, and also here for the hair region, it's much closer to the target image. We can also compare the pixel errors of basis pursuit and A-star OMP. Well, from the basis pursuit pixel errors, you can even recognize the hat and the air and the boundaries of Lena, here the arm, and etc. But A-star OMP clearly introduces much less error than that. So to conclude, I have here presented a multi-path search strategy that combines best for search and orthogonal matching pursuit. In this algorithm, our aim is to build up and dynamically evaluate a search tree while favoring the paths that minimize the cost function. As for this cost function, we have introduced three schemas to our dynamic schemas, so-called multiplicative and adaptive ones. We also introduced an additive schema, but multiplicative and adaptive ones have performed better in the examples. And we showed that Acer OMP provides better reconstruction than OMP, SP, and BP in the experiments. So I finally want also to note that the MATLAB code is available at my website, and we will also introduce a real-time implementation very soon. So thank you for listening.
I don't know if it is. Okay, there we go.
Well, computational time strictly obviously depends on the number of nodes expanded in the tree, and I should say that this is much higher than the basis per suite in this case when you expand too many nodes per iteration. I can say that in real time I have on my dual Pentium computer with real time software about 10 seconds for example, for this experiment for 1K, for K equal to 25, this experiment of 500 random vectors runs in something like 10 seconds. But in terms of computational analysis, you have to find the limit on the number of paths in the tree. You can find a very, very loose bound, very loose upper bound, but this doesn't really represent the complexity of the algorithm. So we are working on that to strengthen this bound, but I cannot say anything more now.
Other questions?
You can show that the algorithm will find the optimal solution only if you have some conditions on the future expansion cost,
yes.
Meaning if it is a lower bound on the real cost. So how can you guarantee that your cost models in the adaptive and in the additive model are really satisfying those lower bound conditions?
No.
Do you have
a
proof for that?
We haven't made a proof for that, but as I said here, it's really very hard to find some exact models that model this decrease in the residue that would occur if this not exists. We cannot know that before. If we had known, we wouldn't even need any reconstruction algorithm.
Yeah, but that makes it hard to prove any performance guarantees.
One can probabilistically show that these cost models would hold in general. I think that's what that can only be done. And this beta here, this constant is weight. It's similar to the weighted A-star, but not as in the sense that this restricts the solution suboptimality. We haven't worked on that. But this beta, when you select this beta very high, this model obviously exactly holds, but then you have to expand too many paths to reach to the solution. But other than that, I think it's one can perhaps probabilistically find find a relation between these cost models and the exact OK.
Yeah, and just one more comment. There was a lot of work in the coding theory community on list decoders. So this falls into the category of constructing partial lists. So there was a list OMP algorithm that works in very similar ways, partially constructing lists of candidates and pruning the list, and even at the end, keeping a list of candidates. So in your case, you're keeping only one path, or you at the end still have a list of candidates.
No,
that you can test perform future tests to see if one of these candidate paths is the correct one.
Oh, sorry. We obviously keep a number of paths during the algorithm, but finally it returns one path.
You keep one. Because in list decoding, you keep a list throughout your search, but you keep a list at the end as well. If you have very small sampling density, then you can play with that list, have some extra side information, and decide which path was the correct one.
Well, the algorithm in our case returns only one path.
Only
that's
one. Okay, thank you.
Thank you. Any other question? Okay, let's thank the speaker again.
Okay, thank you.